Our show is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phone, Kindle Fire, and other devices with Stitcher. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
The First United Methodist Church podcast is recorded live every week at 4832 Tahunga Avenue in North Hollywood, California. Thank you for downloading.
The scripture reading for today is Mark chapter 7, verses 1 through 8, 14 and 15, and 21 through 23, wherein Jesus explains where evil comes from. He's addressing a group of Pharisees and scribes from Jerusalem who had been questioning Jesus about the fact that some of his followers or disciples did not practice the same traditional rituals of purity that they did, particular interpretations of laws given through Moses. As Jesus explains it, evil does not come from without or outside. Rather, evil comes from within or inside people, and that would include all of us. I'll be reading from today's New International Version. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law, who had come from Jerusalem, gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And they observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups, pitchers, pots, and bronze kettles. So the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with defiled hands?" Jesus replied, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. As it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions." Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside you can defile you by going into you. Rather, it is what comes out of you that defiles you. For from within, out of your hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile you." And on that happy note, may the Lord bless to our use through Joey's message this reading of his holy word.
Pray with me, if you will. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come with the fire and burn. Come with the rain and cleanse. Come with the wind and breathe. Come with the light and reveal. Convict us, convert us, consecrate us. Claim and call us with your care and concern, O God, until we do something. Amen. Bill did a lovely job setting up the text, including the closing comments. An interesting piece of text on a variety of notes, not the least of which is we can assume by Mark's text that he is addressing Gentiles, that is, non-Jews. Jesus' disciples, we know, are Jews, or they have believed what he has said and converted. We know that Jesus himself is Jewish. We want to make him Methodist or Lutheran or something else, but he's a Jew, folks. You got to own that. He did not set out to found a religion. He set out to re-signify his own, and that's the point of this illustration. Pharisees and scribes are looking at his disciples and saying, well, they don't follow the rule of the elders. And this would be a very specific thing that they would know. This is all part of intertestamental and doctrinal tradition. You wash your hands this way. It's out of the Levitical codes. It's out of Isaiah. And that's the quote that it hinges on, the quote from Isaiah 29 that says, "Oh, they worship me with their lips, but their hearts aren't in it." That's how Eugene Peterson says. They really don't get it. And that's where Jesus is coming at the scribes and Pharisees. And I would say, still speaking to us, because we aren't any different. We sometimes get caught in this, and that's wherein the title of spiritual hoarding One commentator says part and parcel of how religions get stuck and mired is they worship human doctrine and theology and don't follow the word of God or the leading of the Spirit of the living God. And that's what Jesus is talking about when he says, you say what a person takes in makes them unclean, or what they do makes them unclean. Whereas I say that God tells us that only it's what comes out of a person. That's the fact. That's how it works. But we still get stuck in this. And that's the challenge for us evermore in this day and age. All we have to do is look at fear-based theology as opposed to hope-based. Fear-based theology tells us that we are bad people, fundamentally bad people. Hope-based says God is with us. God's grace is real and tangible and transformational. But I know a couple of you probably were made uncomfortable when Patty mentioned Ahimsa. Well, no less than Dr. King followed this teaching. That's how he changed the policy of apartheid. Yeah, and I use that because that's what it was in America. By refusing to return violence. And it's not accidental. He went to India and studied. He was a Christian minister through and through. Highly trained, I might add, at what became a United Methodist Seminary. Some are still active in this conference who studied with him. Some are retired. One of my favorite professors studied with him as a colleague. I was more impressed that he played basketball one-on-one because Dr. Cornish Rogers was and remains a fairly big guy, and I don't mean big and tall, but big and big. And thought of him playing basketball, just never. He was always in a three-piece suit, so I couldn't imagine him charging Dr. King. But that's what he did. So, Ahimsa is that principle of not doing harm. And you need to understand that Patty and I never talk about what she's doing. It just the Spirit moves and gives us things, and some of us need to let go of those things. Doing no harm is a tough one because we do plenty of harm with our lips when we say, I don't like the way they think. It's ignorant. It's stupid. And I'm as guilty as of this as anybody. That's still doing harm. And letting go is just difficult. I can recall when I was interviewed by the staff parish at Garden Grove United Methodist Church. They were the first gate, so to speak, that I had to walk through and get by on my step to ordained ministry in this tradition. And I'm sitting in this meeting, and one of the most powerful tenors in the choir, Jim Ball, big guy, big tall guy, big voice, imposing personality, he asked me a question about my theology, and I began to answer, and I was talking grace-based stuff. And he said, Joey, I don't hear you talking about humanity being the filthy rags that we are. And I just sucked wind. I didn't know what that meant. I'd never heard that term in my life. And my mentor, Dr. J. Miles Acker Jr., the senior minister, said, Jim, you're talking the wrong theology for Joey. Remember, he's grown up United Methodist. Your grandfather was a Pentecostal evangelist. Your father was a Baptist evangelist. You grew up in those traditions, and that language would be common to you. What Miles did, beyond saving my life, because Jim probably would have killed me, was he explained. He used that as a teachable moment to explain a different thought. And then he went on to say, and Jim, I don't think it's any accident that you're a United Methodist, because those bits, while you still carry some of it, that oppressive thought doesn't work for you. Giving up what we think is wrong and embracing something new is difficult. Yesterday, in one of my favorite theological tomes, Bizarro by Dan Piaro in the LA Times Funnies, has a dad peeking in with a terribly worried look on his face, and he says, "I'm worried about you, sweetie. You're too old to have imaginary friends." She's seated at her desk, and you can see her screen, the screen of her computer, and she says, "Dad, it's called Facebook." Now, to those of us who don't participate in this, it seems imaginary. But to those who participate, they know it's real. Yes, it's online. Yes, it has unique components. But that's how we get stuck and our doctrine is locked in time and space. So spiritual hoarding is an interesting term. I was talking to the folks at 8:15, and I said, you know, there's a TV series on, and I don't know the exact title, but it deals with hoarding. And we look at this, and we're sometimes appalled. If you've not seen it, I don't necessarily recommend it because it can be pretty frightening what is seen, what people will live with. Sometimes we're amused, and sometimes we're just we're in anguish for them because we know there is some disorder that enables people to not let go of stuff, to not and literally hoard things that they not only don't need but that are not helpful or healthy for them. But when we're honest, we know that there's something within them, mind, body, and spirit, that is hurting them, that needs to be dealt with and hopefully can be dealt with. I confessed that I'm sure in my 35 years with Sue, I've probably held on to stuff I shouldn't. I know I've held on to too many pairs of shoes, but I'm not hurting anybody, and my house will hold them. There'll come a time I'll have to thin that herd, I'm sure, but not this week. But we hold on to things. We hold on to ideas. I was driving around Friday, spending time in my car. I happened to be listening to Pat Morrison, and who is on NPR KPCC, and I think it was her last show. She's a wonderful writer. She writes for the LA Times, and she's a wonderful radio commentator. And I know her show, her daily show is ending. She's going to remain with NPR, but she was dealing with a kind of hoarding. And the issue, the topic was dealing with home-based food manufacturers. And she had the representative, the assemblyman from, state representative from Silver Lake, Mike Gotti. And he was talking about the fact that he had read a story in the Daily News and another in the LA Times about a man who had a home-based food business. And specifically, what he did was he baked bread and sold it to restaurants and bakeries. And it was about 50 loaves a week. But it appeared in the LA Times, and that's the one that why that sticks with me is because she writes for the LA Times. And he said the day after the LA Times ran the article, the food police were out and shut him down. The issue with this and how it deals with hoarding, Pat Morrison illustrated perfectly my own narrow thinking by uttering her own. She said, "I can hear my mother talking and saying, 'You don't buy food from people that you don't haven't been in their kitchen personally.'" And there's a litany. My sister is there, and she could attest to this. My mom had this litany because her father had owned restaurants. He worked for Ford Motor Company, but he always had a side business, and it was a restaurant. And she said, don't eat chili that you don't unless you know the chef. Don't eat tuna salad, chicken salad, potato salad, tuna salad, all these salads, unless you know the chef personally. And for heaven's sakes, never eat a cream pie in the summer, and again, unless you know that chef. And I don't know how many times I heard that, but I didn't do that. But here, Pat Morrison is saying exactly the same things, and I'm thinking, are we related? We have the same mother, obviously. She said the same things to Pat Morrison about how you don't do these things, and yet the assemblyman is sharing openly his own views. He said he read the article, and then he realized it was a constituent of his, and he said, oh, I better look into this. Now, I don't know whether that was vote-mongering or whether he was just open to looking at it. And he looked at the old law that forbade home-based kitchen businesses. And it was antiquated. I think he said it was over 100 years old. And so he wrote a new law, and it was specifically non-perishable. And I know bread has a shelf life, but it's not like potato salad or macaroni salad. And his view was there were, within a very narrow framework, home-based kitchens could operate. And I don't know whether this was signed into law. It was on the governor's desk, and, you know, governors sometimes sign things and sometimes don't. But it had gone through our houses in California government. And the issue was that these folks would have to have a health inspector to get their kitchens approved. They'd have to have a yearly inspection of their kitchens. And they, guess what? They'd have to pay taxes and a business license. And there would be a limit on earnings. And I thought, that sounds sort of like a win-win. But the epiphany for me was the assemblyman's comment. He said, once I looked at this, he said, how could I not change my mind? And this is helpful to people who want to start their own businesses, and it's helpful to the economy. It's truly a win-win situation. So what does this have to do with washing your hands? Well, you can go back to your mother, and your mother trained you how to do these things. What does it have to do with hoarding? The Alaska governor, the governor of Alaska, whose initials are AP and no, or SP, no, not Sarah Palin, Sean Parnell. He wants to hoard for emergencies. And he's pretty specific in this article from the Daily News of about 4 days ago. The issue is Alaska is a very large state, and if they have an emergency, people might be left without. Now, the difficulty I had with the article is they talk about hoarding. Well, we're in an earthquake-prone area, and nobody here talks about us hoarding. They say, be prepared. Have a comfortable pair of shoes in your car. Have extra batteries for your flashlight. Know how to read a map. Have some access to extra water and a couple extra cans of tuna and those kind of things. But we don't call it hoarding. And I just found that interesting that they would work at it from that direction. So the text for us is an invitation for us to clean up our act, so to speak, if you will, to let go of. What do we need to let go of? Judgment is real easy. Each of us makes judgments every single day on the checkout line of somebody in front of us at the grocery store. What are they eating? What's that about? We look at people's clothing and say, what were they thinking when they left the house? They might be thinking the same things about us, but we don't move that way. We make judgments of people and hold grudges for decades because we can't. That's how we do it. We make judgments about people based on age, education, socioeconomic. We make judgments based on information that may or may not be accurate, but we aren't interested. When I was a teenager, I had this lovely sign that I kept on my door in my bedroom, and it said, "Don't confuse me with the facts. My mind's already made up." And I have been guilty of that. Of course, you never have. The issue for us is, what do we need to let go of? Are we a little too thin-skinned? Do people hurt us? Are we a little too thick-skinned? We're quick to judge and quick to say those things that are cutting and hurtful and biting, and we think we're being glib or cute. Do we need more information and more patience? What do we need to let go of? And how can we let go of it? Well, part of the way we can let go of it is by listening to those words which Jesus shares with the disciples and the people, and remembering that it isn't so much what goes into a person as what comes out of a person in terms of what we say and how we behave. You know, I'm never going to relate to that person again. I'm not going to contribute to that organization because I don't like them. I don't like that party, and you underline the party. They're a bunch of, fill in your own epithet. Rather than understanding that grace might be available to each and every one of us in some manner or measure beyond anyone's capacity to factor. Me? Oh, I'm far too sensitive to share what I'm willing to give up. But I'm working on it. So be it, and amen.
Thank you for listening to the North Hollywood First United Methodist Church Sermon Podcast, delivered by Dr. Joey McDonald. For more information, please check out nohomethodistchurch.com or find us on Facebook and Twitter under NohoFUMC.